All right, it's 24 November. It's Wednesday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the midweek CG report. Died suddenly. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. All right, our first article today is from CFP. Most vaccinated region in the world. Just canceled Christmas. No Christmas for you. Department of Health for Gibraltar tells citizens to get the booster. Gibraltar recently declared the most vaccinated country in the world with a vaccination rate of 100%. It's canceling all the festivities planned for the end of the year due to the exponential increase in COVID cases. From the Epoch Times, despite high vaccination rate, Ireland reimposes new COVID-19 restrictions. From the Epoch Times, Peru suffers alarming death rate from CCP virus despite vaccinations. Despite having more than 50% fully vaccinated against the virus, the number of infected patients suffering severe and life-threatening symptoms is not waning. By contrast, neighboring Bolivia, that has only 34% fully immunized, but has suffered a far smaller percentage of deaths. So, fully vaccinated, all that means is fully ready to get coronavirus. That's all it means. From Reuters, Austrian COVID cases hit record on third day of lockdown for unvaccinated. In other words, you've got the unvaccinated locked away so that they won't be little super spreaders. And in fact, it's the vaccinated that are super spreading. From Reuters, Germany to limit public life for the unvaccinated. From News4Jax, Czechs and Slovaks target unvaccinated with new restrictions. Saving the unvaccinated is what they're doing. Keeping them locked away, they'll be the healthy ones. From CNBC, Belgium announces new COVID restrictions, but Prime Minister vows to avoid lockdown. My guess is that won't happen because they have a lot of vaccinated people there. From Rebel News, legal challenge. The Salvation Army is denying employees religious exemptions to mandatory vaccine policy. This is the Salvation Army of Canada, a church, and one of the largest social service organizations in the country. Internally released their policy that requires all of their officers, employees, contractors, and volunteers to be fully vaccinated for COVID-19. Those who do not comply will be laid off without pay and unable to serve their communities through their positions with the organization. Possibly more concerning is that despite the organization being so-called, I'll put in there, a so-called Christian church, we have received reports from staff that the organization has been rejecting vaccine exemptions based on religious and or consent-related reasons. If that's the case with the Salvation Army in the United States, I would say never give to them again, not a nickel. I don't know what their policy is here or if they have a united policy or if it's state by state, but I will say that if they are doing that to their people, you shouldn't drop a nickel in that little bucket that they have as they're ringing their bell. From the Epoch Times, over 10,000 Australians planning to file COVID-19 vaccine injury claims. Around 10,000 Australians are planning to file compensation claims for injury or loss of income resulting from COVID-19 vaccines. The scheme, announced in late August, will cover the costs of injuries Australian 5,000 or above. But claimants will need to have received a vaccine approved by Australian drug regulators and suffered a recognized adverse event. I'm surprised that the number is that low. I'm sure it's going to go up exponentially. 10,000 is just the start for these filings, I assure you of that. From the Gateway Pundit, Oklahoma doctors have tremendous success in treating nursing home COVID patients with ivermectin. The Gateway Pundit previously reported that a new international report of 64 studies shows ivermectin has an 86% success rate as prophylaxis and a 76% success rate in the early treatment of coronavirus. Now, two Oklahoma doctors, Dr. John Sutton and Dr. David Jane, shared their stories about the use of ivermectin as a treatment for their patients with COVID-19. Dr. John Sutton is an internal medicine specialist in Woodward, Oklahoma, and has over 38 years of experience in the medical field. He served three nursing homes in Woodward and Dewey County that experienced a COVID-19 outbreak. And Dr. Jane works in Edmond, Oklahoma, and specializes in family medicine and preventive care. The government's intervention in treating COVID-19 patients greatly concerns the two doctors. The government is trying to overreach their authority, you think? Doctors have been pretty autonomous ever since there was the first doctor. The doctor could think for himself and do what he thought was right for a patient. My guess is that they're going to be banned as doctors here shortly for suggesting that ivermectin could do anything other than, you know, deworm horses. And I don't think the government ought to be telling doctors how to practice medicine. I treat them, and guess what? They get better. I can't stand back and do nothing when I know I can help people. Other Oklahoma doctors report similar outcomes. Dr. David Jane, a board-certified family practitioner in Edmond, said he has prescribed ivermectin for hundreds of patients with COVID and achieved extremely high results. Of that total, he said only one patient was hospitalized and not one on a ventilator. No one died. Those treated by Jane have been as old as 93 years old. From the Medical Express, Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna make $1,000 profit every second. Gateway Pundit, New England Journal of Medicine study, vaccine immunity wanes against coronavirus after only 2 months. Actually, I bet you it wanes even quicker than that. It's totally ineffective, and anybody that gets it at this point has lard in their head, I think, unless they absolutely have to for some reason, but you know, some people are forced to. They're being forced in some countries around the world where they absolutely have to take this and they have no choice in the matter. But I got to tell you what, you'll see some people that are dying by the buckets in just a minute. So pay attention. From CNN, the definition of fully vaccinated is changing to 3 COVID doses. From The Hill, Canadian senator dies after being hospitalized for COVID-19. That senator was fully vaccinated. And kind of an ironic thing, in the same week we get from USSA News, we just had an article on a senator in Canada. Now we have something on the Ottawa Senators, which is a sports team. Despite NHL's 99% vaccination rate, the Ottawa Senators games are postponed due to COVID. From the Epoch Times, Steelers' Minka Fitzpatrick tests positive for COVID-19. He's fully vaccinated, by the way. From The Hill, COVID-19 outbreak at Connecticut nursing home leaves 8 dead, dozens infected. 87 of the 89 people were fully vaccinated. Once again, I'd like to remind you that the words fully vaccinated mean absolutely nothing. They don't mean doodly squat. So if somebody tells you they're fully vaccinated, you might as well step back a little bit because they are going to start shedding on you. They are the super spreaders out there right now. From Zero Hedge, official Public Health England data says COVID infection rates higher in vaxxed than unvaxxed. All data is provided on that article. That follows on with an article that I brought up last week. They are just confirming that. From Zero Hedge, vaccine damage payouts in the UK could soar next year. You think? People getting vaccinated and being damaged by these things? I'd say it's going to soar, and it's going to soar a lot. They're going to go broke in England. The number of claims for the UK's vaccine injury scheme is expected to be 18 times higher next year, according to a government-backed health body. From the Epoch Times, Idaho House passes bill to compensate sick workers post-vaccination. My guess is that Idaho is also going to go broke very soon by passing that law. From the Gateway Pundit, European Medicines Agency data shows 1,163,356 adverse drug reactions and 30,551 fatalities by COVID-19 vaccinations. They give the total list on the site. That's from the European Medicines Agency. Okay, 30,551 fatalities, and that's only in Europe. That doesn't include Australia, it doesn't include the U.S. or any of these other places. The U.K. has their own database, it doesn't include them. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that have died by getting the death shot. From CNN, Army bars vaccine refusers from promotions and reenlistment as deadline approaches. Good. It's better than being dead. Don't get the vaccine. Get out of the Army. From Info Liberation, German media reports puzzling. They're puzzled about this. Surge in heart disease among athletes. An unusually large number of professional and amateur soccer players have collapsed recently. In Berlin, the professional player Sergio Aguero from FC Barcelona will be out for at least 3 months. The 33-year-old was substituted for the game against Deportivo Alaves with breathing problems. He was holding his chest and was admitted to a hospital. He is now being treated by a cardiologist for heart problems. At the European Championship, the player Christian Eriksen collapsed in front of the cameras. Diagnosis? Cardiac arrest. Eriksen survived. The two professionals are just two examples of many footballers who struggle with heart problems, some of which are life-threatening. According to the experts, men are more often affected than women. According to data from the German Registry on Sudden Cardiac Death, 96% of the athletes affected are men. As for the causes, it is said that sudden cardiac death during exercise has different triggers. You know what my guess different triggers means? Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, and so on. Those are the different triggers that are causing this. From Zero Hedge, worldwide search trend for died suddenly spikes to record highs. I've told this to a couple people this week. They've checked it out and it confirms it. We can't help but notice one Google search trend that has erupted worldwide. The search term died suddenly has spiked to an all-time high in the last 2 months, with data going back to 2004. Headlines in Europe piece together a mysterious trend of people suddenly dying. We cannot definitively pinpoint the root cause of these mysterious deaths, but want to direct readers to a piece noted last week titled German Newspaper Highlights Unusually Large Number of Soccer Players Who Have Collapsed Recently. In that, we outline German newspaper Berliner Zeitung reported an unusually large number of professional and amateur soccer players that have collapsed recently. Though it's not death, we find the sudden collapse of the sports players appears to be very strange and possibly health-related. They're leading you on in the article, obviously. They know exactly what's causing it. It's the vaccine. It's killing people. Here is my search for died suddenly that I put into the internet. I did it yesterday or the day before, and then I did it again this morning, and two more names freshly popped up. Here we go. From Died Suddenly Search, and the list is a very long one, but I just picked out 10 of them. Okay, from the Catholic Review, Aberdeen Stem Mavin, who died suddenly at 52, inspired family, peers, and students. That was back on October 7th. From the Manchester Times, Mum, 28, dies suddenly after dropping off children at school. That was October 26. From the Metro, Dad died suddenly at the wheel as he drove to GP when he felt unwell. That was October 29th. From the Local 2, Chris Daugherty postpones shows after daughter dies suddenly. That was 13 November. From NPR, NPR Books editor Petra Mayer has died 13 November, and it was a sudden death. From Fox 2, Sunset Hills police officer dies suddenly at age 47. That was 15 November. From NBC 15, funeral arrangements set for Rock County deputy who died unexpectedly. Now, that's different than the deputy that died in the previous article, but it was also on 11/15. From Fox 12, family remembers young Beaverton boy who died suddenly as brilliant and giving. That was on November 18th. From The Sun, so loved, kind and caring boy, 14, who lit up every room, dies suddenly as family left reeling. That was November 22nd. From The Daily Voice, unique sweetness tenderness. Dumont boy, 14, who died suddenly, wore heart on his sleeve. That's because his heart was damaged by a injection. That was 1123. I picked 10. On none of them did they give the reason for the death, indicating that they know what it is, but they do not want to report it. Those are 10 of a list that goes on and on and on. I just picked them out arbitrarily. One of them might have been September 29th. I said October 29th, but I don't want to misreport something. But those are just 10 of a list that goes on and on and on. And I want you to know that you, too, could die suddenly if you get this shot. Be ready to meet your maker. From RVM, Fauci says babies may be jabbed by early 2022. They're coming for our babies. Fauci spoke out this week to say that babies and toddlers aged 6 months to 5 years could be eligible for COVID-19 shot by early next year, hopefully within a reasonably short period of time, likely the beginning of next year in 2022. In the first quarter of 2022, it will be available to them, Fauci told Insider. He then made sure to add that you've got to do the clinical trial before this can happen. And you know that the clinical trial will be something that is not what is administered to the people. We talked about that last week. From Khan's Choice Campaign, you talk about some sick news. 2,620 dead babies in VAERS after COVID shots. More fetal deaths in 11 months than in the past 30 years. Fetal deaths following COVID-19 shots injected into pregnant women continue to increase, as there are now 2,620 fetal deaths reported in. When we run the exact same search in VAERS and exclude the COVID-19 shots, we find 2,225 fetal deaths following all vaccines injected into pregnant women for the past 30-plus years. They give the source. We are currently on pace to see a yearly total of 2,838 recorded fetal deaths following COVID-19 shots, while the yearly average of recorded fetal deaths following the vaccination of pregnant women for the past 30 years has been an average of 74 fetal deaths per year. Last month, October 2021, the New England Journal of Medicine admitted that the original study used to justify the CDC and the FDA in recommending the shots to pregnant women was flawed. They give the source. Since then, researchers in New Zealand have conducted a new study on the original data and concluded a reanalysis of these figures indicates a cumulative incident of spontaneous abortion ranging from 82%, 104 out of 127, to 91%, 104 out of 114. 7 to 8 times higher than the original author's results, and they provide the source. The CDC and FDA recommended the shots for pregnant women, even though a correct analysis on the original data shows that 82% to 91% of pregnant women will suffer miscarriages if their unborn child is less than 20 weeks. They provide the source. And yet the CDC and FDA continue to recommend the COVID-19 shots, which now also include booster shots from Pfizer and Moderna, meaning a pregnant woman can now be injected with 3 COVID-19 shots during her pregnancy, if it lasts long enough. Of the 2,620 fetal deaths in VAERS following COVID-19 shots, 2,015 of these fetal deaths follow Pfizer injections, and 689 of them follow the Moderna injections. They give the source. VAERS is a passive system that is severely underreported. Passive means that people have to send it in. They don't go out looking for it. The CDC and FDA have never conducted a study to determine what this underreported factor is. But independent scientists have, and we have previously published the analysis conducted by Dr. Jessica Rose, who has determined that a conservative underreported factor would be times 41. In other words, you have 2,620 aborted babies times 41. That means if the numbers are correct, according to that lady's study, there are at least 107,420 aborted babies because of the vaccine in the past 12 months. From Ynet, thousands of Israelis rush to book COVID vaccine shots for their kids. Prime Minister Bennett announced the coronavirus vax campaign for children aged 5 to 11 will begin on Tuesday. Guess what? That was yesterday. They're going to start having their children dying in Israel because of this vaccine. People are going to start keeling over in their morning oatmeal because of this vaccine, and nobody's going to do anything to stop it. From the Times of Israel, Fauci says Israel is where you want to be for COVID vaccines. Well, why doesn't he move to Israel? They want to vax everybody up over there. Just go over there, because it's unacceptable what's happening in this world right now. People are dying because of these things. Once again, just go type in died suddenly and start looking at them. And do that every morning. First thing when you wake up, type in the words died suddenly and see the new faces that show up. Because I just read you names. When you put the faces to them, they become human beings. Cute little boys and girls, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready for life, now lying in a casket, waiting to be cremated or buried in the ground because of these vaccines. From the Epoch Times, Bank of America initiates pilot program separating vaccinated from unvaccinated employees. A source who works with Bank of America has disclosed a pilot program beginning November 18th that plans to separate vaccinated from unvaccinated employees at an admin building in Jacksonville, Florida. I signed up with Bank of America while I was living in Malaysia. That was, what, 30 years ago? I was in the U.S. military, and I signed up for them, and I've been with them ever since. And this past week, I drove around looking for other banks because I'm going to leave that bank. I was going to do it anyway because of what they did to the people on January 6th this past year. So I found another bank, and I thought, I'm going to move over there. And it was so complicated because of the, you know, you get your phone bills and you get your water bills and all that kind of stuff automatically deducted. And I've got to go undoing all of that. So I kind of stopped that process. But now I am going to go through with it because Bank of America is absolutely poison. They're like all of these big banks. They're just poison. So I'll be leaving there whenever I can get the time to make this move and figure out how to do it. Your life is so complicated with all these numbers and stuff. So whatever. From Zero Hedge, a theory as to why COVID cases started skyrocketing in Central Europe last month. Now, this is a good theory, and I have a feeling it probably answers a lot of the problems here, but this will go nowhere because they want to keep shoving vaccines into people. But here you go. I'm only quoting the relevant part at the beginning and the end. It's a long study. They give all of the facts and figures and words that are too big to pronounce and all that. So here we go. As the scientific community continues the search for patterns related to COVID, why some people become long haulers versus others, for example, an interesting theory has emerged as to why cases began to spike in Central Europe starting in mid-October. According to Twitter user Kay Barv, the scientific community may want to look at humidity as it relates to the surge. Mankind has been chasing the virus for 2 years now and not yet recognized that humans and their internal ecosystems have evolved to manage all inhaled viruses and their consequences. The front line to protect each individual from viral infection and disease are mucosal microbes who are just unable to perform when the individual has chosen to dry up their natural environment and expose the mucosal cells to all possible pathogens. It makes no sense to assume that any intervention other than water could compensate for the chronic dehydration from dry indoor environment in the cool season, inadequate water intake, for example, in nursery homes, or excessive sweating in hot summer. Meanwhile, when engineers keep themselves busy solving the problem of dry indoor air, hanging wet towels can provide massive, immediate relief to your mucosal microbiome at almost no cost. In other words, their conclusion is, with all of the stats and figures and everything, is that humidity within a house, when it gets below a certain point, will make your nose and your, you know, the mucus in your body dry out, and then you are more susceptible to COVID. And that's kind of proven true because Florida had its spike at the time when people didn't expect it. That's because we were all inside. It's really hot in Florida. We've got our air conditioners on, your nose gets dried out, and then we spiked. And then when we started going down, other people started going up because they have the opposite. They are now indoors because they've been outdoors enjoying themselves all summer. And so that sounds right. So keep your house moist. You'll take care of COVID, you'll take care of flus and things like that if you keep moisture in your house, is what they seem to have proved. Now, obviously, nobody's going to do anything with this because they want you sick and they want you to die because they want you to take their expensive vaccines where they make $1,000 a second. But from Zero Hedge, Australian Army begins transferring COVID-positive cases, contacts to quarantine camps. Yes, they now have camps in Australia. The Australian Army has begun forcibly removing residents in the Northern Territories to the Howard Springs quarantine camp located in Darwin after 9 new COVID-19 cases were identified in the community of Binjari. The move comes after hard lockdowns were instituted in the communities of both Binjari and nearby Rockhole on Saturday night. Howard Springs quarantine facility has capacity for 2,000 overseas arrivals and about 1,000 domestic travelers. They're going to build these camps all over the place, and they're going to get rid of the undesirables in them pretty soon. They're just starting out with the people that are COVID infected. They're all vaccinated, I'm sure. Anyway, from the Epoch Times, zero tolerance of vaccine mandates approved by New Hampshire lawmakers. Good job, New Hampshire. In a vote reminiscent of the state's live free or die motto, New Hampshire lawmakers passed a legislative amendment on November 17th that would prohibit any COVID-19 vaccine mandate in the New England state. That is saving lives one good law at a time. From the Epoch Times, Florida legislature approves bills limiting COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Good job, Florida legislature. Florida legislature passed sweeping legislation that seeks to protect unvaccinated workers from federal COVID-19 vaccine mandates. The four bills were approved largely along party lines. That's because the left in this nation is a bunch of numbskulls. They've got lard in their head instead of thinking these things through. During a three-day special legislative session convened by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis against federal COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Among the measures, private businesses would be blocked from imposing COVID-19 vaccine mandates unless they allow workers to opt out for medical reasons, religious beliefs, immunity based on previous infection, regular testing, or an agreement to wear protective gear. The state health department will be tasked with defining standards for the exemptions. It also prohibits Florida schools and governments from imposing mandates and allows parents to sue schools with masking requirements. Good job, people. Another bill would block the public release of records regarding state investigations of vaccine policies in businesses. If you want to get a vaccine, you can get a vaccine. If you don't want to get a vaccine, you can choose to not get a vaccine. That's the entire purpose of this bill. Trusting Floridians and allowing us to make that choice for ourselves. From the Epoch Times, DeSantis signs bill countering vaccine mandates. I'm very proud of our governor. I will say this right now. If you have something bad to say about our governor, don't send me that email because I don't care. I'm not going to read it and I'm not going to want to talk to you anymore. If you have something bad to say about Donald Trump, don't do it. He was the only guy that was doing anything about the nonsense that was going on in the world. That's why everybody was coming against him. The left was coming against him. People were obviously riled up because of his policies. And yes, he made a mistake with the COVID vaccines. I think he realizes that now. But don't send me things about these people that are actually out there trying to do something. They're trying to make a change in this country back to normalcy. All right? From Breitbart, Florida parents sue school for secretly transitioning 13-year-old daughter. Yes, this is happening in the state of Florida. Parents of a 13-year-old daughter have filed a federal lawsuit against the Florida school district after officials at Deer Lake Middle School secretly transitioned her into a transgender male or a biological girl who says she wants to live as a boy, including allowing her to use male spaces like bathrooms and choosing pronouns. Jeffrey and January Littlejohn's daughter did talk about her gender confusion with her mother, who holds a master's degree in counseling from Florida State University. She spoke at a gathering of the Florida Family Policy Council about the school withholding from her and her husband what the school did without their knowledge or permission. So when our daughter told us she was experienced to stress about her gender at the height of the pandemic, we were completely caught by surprise. She had expressed no signs of gender confusion or distress in early childhood or leading up to this announcement. So we were trying our best to navigate these uncharted waters and support her in the best way we could and help her through her feelings. We found a counselor and started our own research, which led us to gender ideology. But when Little John's heard the truth about what the school did, they were shocked and outraged. The lawsuit says that the school district was relying upon the LCS Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Gender Nonconforming, and Questioning Support Guide, which expressly directs school administrators to avoid notifying the children's parents about a child's gender identity, claiming such an action could lead the student to becoming homeless. What the school district did is tantamount to saying children need to be protected from their parents rather than by their parents. This guidance that they had in place and their actions convey the message that parents are presumed to be dangerous to their children. From the Epoch Times, tempers flare at Florida school board meetings over sexually graphic book found in school library. Tempers flared at Flagler County School Board workshop, followed by a contentious school board meeting where protests and public statements from both sides went on late into the night in an ongoing debate over a book with a criminal report. Flagler County School Board member Jill Woolbright filed a criminal complaint over a sexually graphic book found to exist in the media centers at three Flagler County schools, which she believes violates state obscenity laws. At the November 16th workshop, Director of Teaching and Learning LaShakia Moore admitted several parents had raised different concerns with some of the resources being used. According to Moore, while current policy does a great job of outlining steps on what to do when any educational material is challenged, the district needs to look at opportunities for updating this policy specifically to align with state statute. During the school board workshop, school board attorney Christy Gavin admitted that Flagler County School Board policy was not updated when the Florida criminal obscenity law was passed in 2017, adding that the majority of the school districts in the state have outdated policies. Gavin further stated she had just attended a conference where an inquiry of the books mentioned during the workshop were mentioned by other districts, citing Orange, Lee, and Martin counties as also having these books brought to question. And these are the people that will be identified as domestic terrorists by the Department of Justice instead of people that are doing a responsible thing. Our government is out of control. From the Gateway Pundit, shoplifters are looting in broad daylight in blue cities. Police hands are tied under Democrat leadership. Following a relentless effort by the Democrat establishment to demonize and defund the police, crime rates in deep blue cities, including New York City, Portland, Chicago, Boston, San Francisco, and St. Louis, are skyrocketing. Muggings, vehicle break-ins, carjackings, and homicides are surging in blue cities across the country amid the implementation of bail reform laws that keep violent offenders out of jail, and legislative measures that put the burden of liability on police officers while emboldening criminals. In San Francisco, Proposition 47 prevents police officers from arresting or even interviewing with anyone shoplifting up to $950 of merchandise. Now, thieves are looting stores in broad daylight. Flagrant shoplifting has become such a regular occurrence in the Golden City that convenience store chains like Walgreens and CVS are resigning to shutting down in the Democrat-run city. Thieves in Oxford, Connecticut, were caught on camera earlier this month brazenly committing grand larceny in the middle of the day, walking out of a grocery store with carts filled to the brim with groceries and cleaning products. After loading all the stolen products into vehicles with no license plates, they recklessly sped off. On November 8th, the LAPD issued an alert advising city residents to cooperate and comply when getting mugged or burglarized. If you're being robbed, do not resist the robbery suspects. Cooperate and comply with their demands. Be a good witness, the department said in a community alert. The advisory came after Robbery Homicide Division of the LAPD was notified of an ongoing crime trend of follow-home robberies in Los Angeles and neighboring cities. While measures that decriminalize theft are implemented, hyperinflation and the precipitously climbing cost of food will only exacerbate the uptick in theft. In an era of George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, riots, and defend the police movement, fighting crime in cities has become too much of a liability, prompting police to leave the forces in droves. Most New York Police Department cops say they wish they never joined the force in the first place, according to an internal department survey. Not only did 56% of cops say they wouldn't put on the badge if they had to do it all over again, but a majority feel the public disrespects them. A staggering 80% of the officers, detectives, sergeants, lieutenants, and captains surveyed now fear aggressively fighting crime because of the threat of criminal liability, being sued, or being unfairly disciplined. According to the survey of 6,000 police officers, 78% said they don't feel supported by the department, and 73% said the most effective cops fail to receive appropriate recognition. From Breitbart, Fauci. If you do not know the vaccine status of people, then you should be wearing a mask. Well, Dr. Fauci, I am unvaccinated, so you can take your mask off. You're safe around me. I work at 7-Eleven every day, and they'll ask me when I come into the store, "Hey, Charlie, how's it going?" And now when I go in there, I say, "Unvaccinated. How about you?" I want people to know that I am not going to take this death shot. It'll never happen. They'll have to strap me down, tie me up, and pump that into me. That's what's going to happen. But other than that, I will never get this shot because people are being damaged by it, they're being killed by it, and people are profiting off of those things. From Yahoo, Fauci, vaccinated family members can enjoy maskless Thanksgiving. Well, guess what, Dr. Fauci? I'm going to have a maskless Thanksgiving, and I'm going to have my Thanksgiving with my family, and we're going to have turkey and whatever else we're going to have, and we're going to do it because we believe in freedom in this country. You can take your mask and you can put it, you know where, right up your nostrils where it belongs. Because I'll tell you what, we're not going to take this from you. You're a bad human being and you need to be called out on these things. That is what needs to happen. We're going to enjoy our Thanksgiving without masks and we're going to enjoy our life in Florida without masks. And if you don't like where you are, get in your car, funnel down to Florida, and we'll find room for you. It's getting crowded down here. It's getting expensive, but it's going to be a lot better than being forced into whatever you're going to be forced into. And I feel bad for the people that can't come here from other countries. Actually, you can if you think about it. If you don't want your vaccine, get on a boat and sail over to Mexico and then just walk over the southern border and they'll give you a free flight over to Florida and they'll give you benefits as well. I mean, is it worth dying over this vaccine? It's simply not. It's just not. Anyway, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. So I'd like to read you something before we finish. This is from Psalm 92. Psalm 92, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. That'll be a great day when that happens. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. What a wonderful promise we have living in the knowledge of the Lord, especially in the knowledge that he sent his son to die for our sins. He came down here and he was born under the law of Moses, God's standard. He lived that life perfectly, and he gave that perfect life up in exchange for our sins. If you'll simply believe that message, if you will apply it to your life and say, I accept that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again, the Bible says that you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is a guarantee of the future redemption of the purchased possession, meaning you, meaning all of the redeemed of the ages who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and not in this terrible, terrible world where we're told the family members that are vaccinated don't have to wear a mask. Can you imagine somebody even getting up in the gall of that man to say that? You go out and you enjoy yourself and don't be scared of what's coming. You may die by coronavirus, but guess what? You might die getting run over when you walk outside today or tomorrow. You have no idea when your end is. So come to Christ now, be reconciled to God through him, and forget all of this nonsense that's going on in the world. I read these things week after week to keep you apprised of what's going on, not to scare you, not to depress you, but to let you know what's going on and to make wise decisions for yourself, for your family, and for those that you love. But having said that, I would like to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. Rejoice in the Lord because he's the only place that we have to truly rejoice in. And so from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.